Yeah.
And so in this, I feel like, you know, this is not one of those moments where, you know, which I think we have to be careful of anyways. Like, I'm not giving my double cheeseburger to somebody on the street. They probably put themselves there because of this. And we've got to be careful to not be so judgmental of the least of these, because Jesus told the disciples that one time, you have given me thirst, you have given me drink when I'm thirsty. You have given me, you have seen me in prison. You have done this. You have done this. And they're like, whoa, when'd you go to prison, Jesus? We didn't see you in prison. When was you thirsty and we gave you water? When was you hungry and we gave you food? When was you naked and we gave you clothes? And Jesus is telling them all this, and the disciples are probably like, oh, man, did we forget the time we visited Jesus in prison? Like, what's going on here? And Jesus basically says, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it as unto me. And here it's like, we are quick sometimes for the beggar, for the, you know, the ones that are out in the street, not to be benevolent and helpful. And I do think that in this, it's a great opportunity to love them, to show them the love of Christ, to share the gospel, to, you know, if you have this thing against giving them $5 to go get food, then go get them the food and bring it back to them and just tell them, you know, like, you know, Jesus compels, the love of Christ compels me to do this, and he loves you, and I'm praying for you. Actually, can I pray for you before I give you this food? Share the gospel with them, but also give them food. Jesus, you know, Jesus talks about that. Don't let them leave hungry and thirsty. And so in that regard, I think we have to acknowledge that beggars are not something that we ignore, because they're still beggars today. And I'm pretty sure one time there was somebody playing violin or something like that outside of a store, and I gave them like $2 or something like that. And then I started listening harder and watching their hands, and I'm like, that's not adding up. And so, but you know what? That's okay. That's okay. And I think that's where we have to, I'm not saying give them a check for $1 million if you got it, but I'm saying like a double cheeseburger, whether they need it or not, whether they're faking it or not, you are honoring the Lord with your own heart and your own intention. And here the beggar Bartimaeus, he's literally blind. He's hungry, probably. It's very similar to the guy who's never walked before in Acts chapter 3, and Peter and John go up, silver and gold have we not, but what we do, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Very similar to that occasion in the sense of being a beggar. And here, when he heard that it was Jesus, so this is now Bartimaeus, who is the son of Timaeus, and was sitting by the roadside. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And this is like a cry. You have to unpack what he's saying. He's calling out his name. Mm-hmm. He's crying out his name, technically. He's acknowledging who Jesus is, son of David. So he knows enough about Jesus to know he's coming from David's lineage. But you really need to see this next part of what Bartimaeus is saying. He's saying, have mercy on me. He's not asking for something he deserves. He's saying, Lord, I ask for something I don't deserve. Because mercy is not receiving what you do, or, you know, you deserve something, but God's showing you mercy. Mm-hmm. And so here, I think Bartimaeus is realizing, like, I don't deserve this, Lord, but will you show up and help me? There's a cry of desperation in Bartimaeus. There's this acknowledgement. There's not this pride or arrogance or this, even this, like, you got to do it. You're Jesus. You do this for everybody else, so do it for me. There's no temptation. There's no manipulation, because the Pharisees are so quick to do that kind of stuff. They would try to manipulate Jesus and try to get him to do a miracle. And Bartimaeus is, I feel like Bartimaeus' cry is more of a desperate ram of, I don't deserve this, but will you please help me?
Yeah.
Like, will you please help me? And at this point, now many start to rebuke him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. He's going to be heard. And he's making sure Jesus can catch his voice. He wants Jesus to hear him because, again, there's a great crowd. This crowd's probably pushing him off. But this also tells you what the crowd thought of the beggar. Yeah. They thought he was irrelevant. They thought he was not important. They thought that he was not worthy to be heard by Jesus. They were trying to rebuke him. And he is the one with a legitimate need of needing to be set free because this disability, this hindrance, this inability to see was literally disrupting his whole life. He couldn't do anything. He was resorting to begging because of his condition. And he knew that if he could just get Jesus' attention, maybe Jesus would have mercy on him and that his eyesight would be restored and that he could go actually live more of a normal life, I guess you could say. But how many times are people crying out for help and the crowd around them is drowning them out?
Just like the previous story in Mark.
But he cried out all the more. And there's that prevalent prayer, I guess you could say. There is that consistent prayer, the effectual prayer, the prayer, I'm going to be heard. I will. We are not going to be denied. We're going to march forward. We're going to cry out till he hears us. We are going to be all the louder if that's what it takes. But Bartimaeus was determined. And this story is starting to show me how determined are we to hear our prayer. Mm-hmm. How determined are we for God to hear our cry, for God to hear our prayer? How loud would we become? How broken would we be? How much humility would we display? How much reliance and utter reliance on the Father will we have? Mm-hmm. And if you need, you know, if you've been praying for something for a long time, keep praying for something. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. You just need to get the Father's ear. And I've learned that, like, not everything's just an absence of faith. A lot of things are an absence of faith, and I believe that because I've said it many times when I preach that I think the number one hindrance to our prayer life in America is our lack of faith. But there's also some things that's going on in our life that we're praying for souls to be saved. Maybe you're praying for a lost loved one. Let's be more specific. And you've been praying. You have a lot of things taking place there. The Spirit of God is drawing and working on that person, but also their free will is on display. The desires of their flesh is manifesting. You have all this spiritual warfare because Satan don't want to release one of his. And you have all these demonic things are whispering, and the Holy Spirit is working. And it's not like it's a competition, but you have to understand that in this realm, the person that you're praying for salvation also has a free will. And the Lord will not exert over that free will. And so in this, like, we're praying and we just got to trust the Lord is working and that heart is changing and that the enemy is being silenced, and we will keep praying and we can't stop praying, because let me just declare that I've heard so many times lately, no one is above his changing. No one is above what he's going to do. No one is above what the power of God can do in a person's life. We just got to trust that the Holy Spirit is working. We got to keep speaking life and not death. And this is where I'm repenting of openly, of when I've spoke death and when I've spoke curses over people, and not saying profanity or calling them names. But whenever I say stuff like, they're just going to be like that. Oh, yeah, they always struggle with that. Oh, yeah. Stop speaking the curse and start speaking the blessing. Stop speaking death and start speaking life. Encourage. And I'm not talking about being positive, you know, positive Sally or whatever it is. And, you know, oh, you did so great. But I am saying stop cursing them. Stop putting it back on them. And whenever Lazarus got out of the grave, the first thing Jesus did was he had the people take their grave clothes off. Lazarus didn't take his own grave clothes off. Jesus didn't take their grave clothes off. Who did? The people. Because The people needed to identify, this guy's not dead no more. Mm-hmm. He's alive. And Jesus spoke him into spoke him back into life. He called him back to breath, but it was the people who had to take the grave clothes off, because some of the worst things that would happen to believers, and new believers especially, when they're born again and they get this new life, is that Christians keep putting their old life back on them. And this is exactly what we were talking about with Bartimaeus. Like, I'm even guilty of it. Whenever I come in here and say, we're going to talk about blind Bartimaeus today. Bartimaeus ain't blind no more. He got healed. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to see that. So we need to quit identifying him as blind Bartimaeus. When a person gets born again, they're not the addict. They're not a sinner saved by grace. They're not a pornography addict that now is saved. They're not an adulterer that's now saved. They're not this that's now saved. They are a saint made in the image of God. They are the son or daughter of the Most High God. We got to quit identifying people by their grave clothes and start identifying them by their relationship and inheritance in the kingdom. And that is the sonship of who God is to them. To them, he became them power to become what? Sons of God, mm-hmm. not sinners saved by grace. I know it sings well, and I know we like that theology because we can kind of still identify as a sinner and be okay when we sin, but the Bible does not call us a sinner saved by grace. The Bible calls us a saint, calls us a son, calls us a daughter, and we've got to quit identifying with the grave clothes and quit calling Bartimaeus blind, quit calling Thomas doubting, quit calling Peter the betrayer because that's not who they are. Mm-hmm. And we're identifying people by their dysfunction, and we're speaking death, and we're wrapping the grave clothes back up. Sorry, I didn't mean to be so preachy, but I'm fired up this morning.
Good thing for these, they're in glory, so our death can't do anything to them, but those who are living.
Yeah.
It's truly, like, the blood of Christ is enough to cover everything, but as far as consequences in this world, like, I think we see how speaking death has literally affected. And I think it's partly because it causes the other person to come in agreement with it and believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I know you say often of don't let it become my anxiety or my depression. Mm-hmm. It can't be mine. It's gotta be gone. The enemy wants to fire the dart of anxiety and depression, but there's going to be no place found because I'm dressed in the armor of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, and this is the same. We got to quit identifying and speaking that death. Stop, we got to speak it. Life. Yeah. We got to speak life and speak blessing and not curse. And I mean, that's not saying we never rebuke and correct and all that kind of stuff. But I think even in that, we got to do it in the right manner. And more I'm finding slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to wrath. I'm not a tattoo guy, so maybe I just need to, like, put it on a shirt and wear it as my undershirt every single day and just make, like, 15 of those shirts. It just says, slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to wrath. So I remember to shut my mouth and open my ears more. That would probably be good for me.
I always said, are you correcting from the part of you're trying to be right? Or are you correcting because you love these people and you want to see them grow? You know, I see a lot of people correct because it's a macho man or makes them feel good. You know, I just want to make them know that I'm right. I've seen that. But then I've also seen the brokenhearted people trying to correct just somebody and you just seeing that and it breaks their heart and they want to help them. I think that's where we have to understand what true correction is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the Sadducees and Pharisees did it just to prove they're right, you mm-hmm. know, most of them. Jesus came and corrected because he loved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and we have to be sensitive to the spirit of when we are to not, because there's one situation with somebody right now that everybody wanted me to, well, not everybody, but several people wanted me to address. And honestly, I just kept praying about it, and I just didn't feel it was ever the right timing of the spirit to do so. So really what we do is just pray for it. And honestly, that whole thing, the Holy Spirit took it.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit worked it. And I feel like we have to be careful, as Hannah said before too, or hold on, let me correct this, as Ethan has said to Hannah, you know, not to play the Holy Spirit's job. Let Holy exactly. Spirit play, be Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And man, when Hannah told me that testimony, what Ethan told her, like, it really made me think, like, how many times have I tried played the Holy Spirit? And I feel like there's sometimes we need to close our mouth to people and open our mouth to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and pray about yeah. people as much as we talk about them. And if we prayed for them as much as we talked about it, and the Holy Spirit spoke a phrase to me yesterday and really strong in my spirit. I'm telling you, there's really an open heaven for the voice of the Lord right now. He's really speaking. And he told me a phrase yesterday, And it's similar to what he's told me in the past couple of weeks, but it was phrased a little bit different. He said, stop talking about the mountain that you're called to speak to. And we so often do that. We talk about the mountain instead of speaking to the mountain. So we know everything about the mountain. We know all of its problems. We know all of its things. And, you know, in reality, that's what we do with the church a lot, in especially preachers. We're guilty of this. We talk about the mountain in the church, but we never speak to the mountain in the church. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so we've got to speak to it, because there's authority in our voice through prayer. And we can begin to shape nations and to shape countries and to shape cultures if we would speak the right thing in prayer, because prayer is the tool and the avenue that we begin to shape things. And that's why the word becomes so important, because now we are praying according to his word, which means we're praying according to his will. Yeah. And when he speaks, it speaks confirmation. Amen. And this is where there's a true army of God beginning to rise, that they are done with this nonsense, and there's going to come great unity. Amen. And you know, we was just, I don't mean to come back to that like last night, but that was where it was at. It was just this great unity in our prayer meeting, and there was some speaking to things. There was repentance. There was coming into a place of brokenness over each other. There was surrounding each other and praying yeah. over each other in our prayer meeting. And I think that's where it is. And I mean, we can. There's sometimes that like, hey, yeah, like we need to talk about stuff. We got to talk about situation, whatever that is. Like, and the Lord gives us wisdom in that. But the greatest thing we'll ever do is pray, body. Mm-hmm. It's the pray family, and it's to pray and seek and utterly depend upon him. And this is why it's so important to be a person of the word and person of prayer, because now he says, if you ask anything according to my name, then I will hear from heaven in my name. Well, how do you know it's in his name? Because it's in his word, and his word is his plumb line. Yeah. And if you want to know the will of God, get into his word, because he gave us a Bible. He gave us a book with 66 books in it that says, this is how I think. This is what I love. This is what I'm against. This is what I'm for. This is how I process. This is how I act. This is how I respond. And if we can get into his will and release his will through prayer and activate ourselves into proper perspective, then the earth will be shaken. What it will not be shaken upon is the shoulders of men. It will only be shaken when we stand upon the shoulders of the Lord. Hmm. And I think that's where we've got to shift our thinking and our perspective. And that's why there's this great revival of prayer that's happening in the body of Christ. And not this prayer for big conferences and big things. This is prayer in the secret place. This is Amen. Prayer with each other. This is desperate crying. And this is Bartimaeus crying out, Son of David. And then Jesus stops and said, call him. And They called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. Even them, they are saying, call that blind man. Call him. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me, what? Recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way.
Can I say something?
Sure.
We got time. Just the Lord's been dealing with me about some things, about how we respond to anybody or to anything, and how sometimes, you know, you may have a bad day, or you're going through maybe you just had a hard day, and somebody comes up and they're trying to tell you about some stuff going on in their life, or maybe they just got a question. And I feel like sometimes we get so irritable. And we respond in a way like you're not important. I've done that. I mean, and I think, like, even with stress from work and just the life stress, and me and Kirsi's been talking, I was like, we got to work on how we respond to people, how we, especially even our kids, you know, like, they're driving you crazy and you're just, you know, want to just lash out at them. And I'm sitting there looking at the life of Jesus. So many people were coming to him, telling him about what's going on in their life. You know, if we're supposed to be Jesus people, we need to learn how to rest. And I think what happens when Aaron was talking about prayer, I think we all get to a point where we get irritable with each other in some way, form, or fashion. And it may not even be anything you've done. It just may be the ways of life. But what prayer does, when somebody comes up to you and you've been in two hours of prayer, pretty spongy, you know, you're ready to, hey, tell me, let's go to prayer about this. You're ready to battle. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes we haven't prayed enough to soften the hearts of us to be able to be able to take on what's, you know, it's like casting your cares. I'm trying to teach Braden and some of the other kids, and I'm like, cast your cares upon the Lord. I know there's things that we're praying for. There's things that we're needing. But if you carry that too long, it will make you irritable. It will make you in this place where you just can't handle it, you know, and you'll lash out, not meaning to. And I've seen that in the body, like people getting just so irritable with things, and like nobody, like everybody gets on your nerves, you know. Everybody, I don't want to hear anything. And I'm sitting there looking at Jesus, and all these people are coming and telling him everything. Hey, I need to be healed. Hey, I need deliverance. Hey, I need this. And the way he responded was so amazing. You know, that's mm-hmm. simple. What do you want me to do? You know, most of us be like, what do you want me to do? Come on. You know, like, I'm done. I'm hurting so much, you know. But Jesus is, what do you want me to do? Go and go your way, you know. And I think that comes from that prayer, being in prayer and soaking in his word and casting your cares, you know, upon him and asking him, God, help me to be more sensitive to people. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what the people are going. We don't know what people are going through. And even when the times that we just feel like they're our enemies or whatever, we're supposed to pray for them. And I think that sometimes that's hard. You know, I look at God, I was like, why don't you just, we want to be like the sons of thunder, call fire down from heaven and destroy them. We're done with them. And so God is trying to tenderize us a little bit. He's putting us in that place where he's trying to tenderize our hearts, where we're trying to respond better. We're trying to do things better, or maybe it's eating better, or just, I think he's just trying to tenderize us to make him like to make us like him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the ultimate goal, is we are to be like Jesus. Yeah. In all. So I just wanted to put that out there.
And I'm sorry, Hannah, did you going to say something?
Nope. All right.
And verse 48:9, I don't want to skip this because we just kind of ran through it quickly. I do love that phrase, take heart. Basically, he's heard you.
Yeah.
Like, be encouraged. He has heard you, and he is calling you.
Yeah.
And we should take heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the end game of this is not that blind Bartimaeus receives sight and he just goes to like, oh, all right, cool. No, it actually says he recovered his sight and followed him on the way, which most scholars believe that it means that Bartimaeus remained a disciple of his, that he was following him all the way to Jerusalem to the cross. There was a lot of people that followed Jesus that necessarily wasn't one of the 12.
Yeah.
Like, they were in there. They kept following. They kept going city to city. They may not have been in the room at the Lord's Supper, but they were disciples.
Yeah.
And most people believe, and from what I can gather from scholars and notes, is that, like, from notes here, that it looks like he that followed him on the way was a determiner, like, he stayed with him.
Yeah.
He stayed with him.
He impacted him. I mean, yeah. You know, when somebody does, when something that powerful impacts your life, you're going to follow, mm-hmm. you know. So,
yep. Oh, hallelujah.
Reminds me of the testimony yesterday of Brother Jeremy. You know, he's like, the Lord, he understood when he came to the end of himself, and when the Lord, you know, he encountered him, and that love is what he encountered. He went face to face with Jesus pretty much in his lowest place. He knew that he had to follow him with his whole self.
Yeah.
Like, he had to lose his life to gain.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I see here, too.
Are we going to break? That's what I was wondering.
Not going to break.
But anyways, I just want to testify this, too. My brother come in from South Carolina this week. And we had some of our family, not all of family, but he was at my house. They kept wanting to meet at my house, which I'm fine with. It's cool. Kirstie was kind of... got to clean every day, you know, make sure everything's tidy, whatever. But anyways, we begin to pray in a circle, and the kids got, and we're laying hands on my sister. She's having some problems, and my brother and his wife's dealing with some stuff. And just everybody, I just ask, you know, like I normally do at my house. I like when people come over and we pray. And at the end of the prayer, his son comes up and says, what are you all doing? And he thought something was wrong. He thought something was really upsetting. But I was glad to be able to do that. And But I think they looked at each other like, this isn't normal for them. And Kirstie's like, I don't know. She said, this is normal in this house. You know, this is normal in our house. And I think sometimes we forget that a lot of people don't have this. You know, they don't have that where they center everything around the Lord. It's just a part of, you know, a piece of their life. It's not the centerpiece of their life. Mm-hmm. And it just burns my heart to know that maybe they're looking to you. Because at the last time before he left last night, he said, can you pray for me again? You know, that's not normal. That's not like my brother to do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been praying for him for a long time. Right, but I think his picture's been in the church. I don't even know if it's still there anymore, but it's been in there for 20 years.
Wow.
And I've been praying that God will really get a hold of him. And I'm hoping just by the prayers and just praying over them and being obedient, and them seeing our lifestyle, this is our lifestyle. This isn't something we're just doing because you're here. This is what we do every day. I said, my kids know this. And I said, and I think my sister crying, saying, this reminded me of, you know, what we used to be like. Because my grandmother used to, you know, make us all pray together and stuff. So I think it's time for the church to start being the church. Impact your family. Impact the people who you have influence over. Who's looking to you, and we got to respond in the right way. And just even reading this story, people are needing him, and they're looking to us to show them Jesus. And if we show them, if they come to me and I give them Jacob, I'm not giving them anything. I'm giving them nothing, but if I give them Jesus, I can help them. And I think that's where we got to get to. We got to get to where we're just giving them Jesus and dying daily, every day. So,
Amen.
I want to read the first trivia question. We're not going to break, but as Hannah's doing Kingdom Corner, you're welcome to call in. So I'll read the first trivia question of the morning. When King Jehoshaphat heard the Moabites, the Ammonites, and others coming to attack, what did Jehoshaphat command the people of Judah to do? What did Jehoshaphat command the people of Judah to do when he heard the Moabites, the Ammonites, and others were coming to attack? 270-257-2689. All right, Hannah, take us off in the Kingdom Corner, and if you want to call and get that name in that trivia for this two-week period, I'll be here.
Okay. Let's see here. Should be pulled up. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 31. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Yeah, Jacob can agree with me, but before I start this, I just received a notification that my grandma, her oxygen level has dropped lower than they want it to be. She's just had surgery, and she asked specifically for me to be praying and, like, people with the church to be praying. So I don't want to put it off too long.
No.
So, I mean, I've been over here praying, but just if you all would agree with us, just she has several kids that she's in her older age. She has several kids that she's adopted and takes care of.
Yeah.
That's what I keep praying, like, Lord, you know, those kids need their mom, and you still have work for her to do.
Amen.
So, Lord, we just lift her up to you, Lord. Yes, we lift Jesus up Pat, Lord, and we thank you that you have this under control. And, Lord, we speak to the oxygen, Lord. We speak to her lungs, Lord, to line up right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you've given us authority, and we believe and stand on your word, God, that it has to line up in your presence and in your name, Lord. And we just thank you that all the assignments that you have for her, these children and their lives and everything, Lord, it's in your hands, and that she's going to walk out every assignment that you have for her in Jesus' name. And we pray that you give her peace and confidence in you, and that it be a testimony to the ones in the hospital. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, guys. All right, so I'm in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 7. This was just really speaking to me, and it kind of goes along with the verse of the day that Aaron read too about the Lord, or Paul was speaking, how the Lord brought in those who were alienated and afar off into his kingdom. So verse 7, for thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the pregnant women and she who is in labor together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come. With pleas for mercy I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. He who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall languish no more. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. And I will feast the soul of the priest with abundance. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord.
Amen.
It's powerful. And, you know, obviously we know that in this, it just reminds me. Oh, well, actually, that was the first part. Wow. Okay, Lord. Well, I'm glad that I read that. That actually was not the section of this chapter that I was going to read, because later on it talks about the new covenant. But I'm so glad that I read that, because this whole chapter is so powerful. And later on he talks about, so he's giving this huge picture of his plan to bring his remnant back to him and restore. And then later in those verses, if anybody wants, you know, to read that in verse 31 of chapter 31, easy to remember, 31:31, he starts talking about the new covenant and how this covenant, talking about Jesus, is going to be stronger than any other covenant that he's made with his people before. And, you know, that's what was speaking to me when I read in this. And I love the part where he says, though I was their husband, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband. So he recognizes that there is a covenant between him and his people, and they broke that marriage.
Yeah.
Though I was their husband, they cheated on me, basically. But listen to all of that, with even knowing, like, that's what the love that even Jacob was talking about earlier blows my mind, to think, you know, all of these plans that the Lord is declaring that he's going to do for the remnant, that he's going to prosper and bless and draw near to these people and turn their mourning into joy to his people, comfort, feast soul with abundance, although knowing what they're going to do to him and what they've already done to him, how they have cheated on him, they have put idols above him. And I just want to magnify the Lord and his mercy and his goodness, because this whole chapter just, it should encourage us, because this stuff still speaks true to us today. The remnant is still alive today. Amen. This remnant that he's talking about, yes, he is specifically in the context talking about Israel, the house of Jacob, but we're grafted in. And we're those ones that were afar off that have been brought in. And these words are still true to us today, that he is still turning our mourning into joy. He's still bringing us in, and the covenant that he has with us now is greater than any covenant that the covenant that was before through Jesus. And the last part that I love is that I actually planned on talking about, but I didn't, is how from the least to the greatest, he will forgive the iniquity and remember their sin no more, from the least to the greatest. And that no longer shall anyone teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me.
Amen.
And that just foreshadows to me the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so thankful that it's not by power or not by our might. It's not by our own understanding. But we've been brought into fellowship with Him. And no matter where we're at right now, even in our walk with Him, still greater are the latter days than the former. There is greatness to come, because there's prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that shows us that. And if it's not good, then it's not finished.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said he was going to complete every single, he was going to complete the work that he started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just good news. That I love when the Old Testament just, my goal is to look for Jesus in every word. Mm-hmm. I used to struggle with the Old Testament, but
I love
looking for Jesus in everything, and it brings it to heart. It brings it close to home. And then, of course, the part, I'll put my law within them. I'll write it on their hearts.
And on their hearts.
And that's what he's looking for, is a people that will let his law be written on our hearts. Because if our heart is captivated by him and his word is written on our heart, and that is the thing that we're marked by, literally, mm-hmm. literally branded and marked by, then we will live in that way.
Amen.
There's no way that, if our heart is branded and marked with his truth, our whole life will follow up with that.
Yeah. Which, if you go to Psalm, when it discusses the law, and you go to the two words in the Hebrew that's differentiate between the lamp and the light, the law actually translates to the word Torah, which means aura, which means light. And who came as the light of the world to shine into the mm-hmm. darkness of men?
Mm-hmm.
So when he came into the world as the light, which is literally as the manifestation of the law, and not going back to the law, because that's not what we're saying. We're not going back to the ceremony, but he's saying the commandment, the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord that's
Jesus.
It's written in our heart, because the light has shined into the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. And the light got to our heart, not just our head.
Mm-hmm. And that's all that he's saying in that chapter. Yes. All the way back in Jeremiah. Like, he's just laying it out to them what they don't even understand yet.
Yeah. It's awesome. I mean, like, just the prophecy and how Jesus came as the light, the manifestation of the light, to illuminate to us the knowledge of who the Father is and the people that God's trying to raise up in the earth. We go all the way back to Exodus, and the Father literally tells Moses, I'm going to make for myself a holy nation, a king, a nation of priests, those who will Amen. Labor before me. But it's really, I'm going to make for myself a people that manifest who I am in the earth. And it's not any different than if, even though I'm very, you know, I preach this, this is one of my favorite sections to talk about and preach on, is 1 Samuel, whenever Eli's son Hophni and Phinehas go back to the battlefield. And of course, I preach from Ichabod, the glory of God has departed, and they thought they could just go in there and shout, but their sin had caught up to them, mm-hmm. and there was no glory. But you've got to see the response of the Philistines before this happened, because the response of the Philistines was, they saw the Ark of God, and they got scared because they knew what happened when God's ark showed up in the battlefield. God's people prevailed in victory. And that's why the Philistines said, we're not going to die as slaves today. We're going to die as men, basically acknowledging in their eyes they had so heard about the God of the Hebrews that when the Hebrew God showed up on the battlefield through this ark, they knew what happened to the enemy.
Amen.
And so, but then, of course, we know how that story ended. But there was already the acknowledgement of even pagan foreign nations that when the God of Hebrews shows up on the battlefield, something changes. And actually goes on to say, we heard what happened in Egypt. We heard what happened. That's a Philistine army declaring, we heard what happens
Amen.
When the God of the Hebrews show up.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're going to die today, and we're not going to die as slaves. We're not being taken slaves. We're going to die as men. They were fully prepared to lose the battle. They were just going to lose the battle through death, because they had acknowledged what God does when he shows up on the scene.
They knew, and I think that's part of this, but I do think he's talking when he says that they shall all know me, but I believe he's talking to the remnant, because he's mentioned the remnant before in this chapter.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting me when it says like that he will put, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He will do it.
And what's the two greatest commandments?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul. Mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself.
I go back to the, I was going to read it here, Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So he wrote these things on their hearts, and this should be written on our hearts every day, you know. And I think that we sometimes, because it goes on to say in Jeremiah where you was reading, it says, somewhere in there it says, and I shall be their God and they shall be my people. He's talking. That's coming together. He is bringing you as one with him.
Yeah.
And that's to be, and if we truly love our God with all of our soul, we need to be, let him do his work in us.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. And what you're saying, Hannah, is right. Like the remnant, he is doing it. And that is to show the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because just as Jesus was the light, now we're called to light.
Amen. Yeah.
And what it means to be the light of the world is not just that, you know, they're really nice people. No, it's that we're bringing the revelation of who the Father is in the manifestation
mm-hmm. yeah.
into the earth so that when they see us, they will see him.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that is what it is to be the light. And he's putting this in us so that we would know the word of the Lord. We would walk within his ways. We would love him and keep his commandments. We would walk in the power and the glory of his might. And I feel like this is the illumination. Like Jesus never sent them out just to say words. He sent them out to preach with the confirmation of the signs and wonders behind them.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I'm not just going out. You're just not going out with the words of the kingdom. I'm sending you out with the power of the kingdom Amen. Of God. And when you go out, you're going to preach, but you're going to preach with an identification that everything you say is true.
With power and demonstration Amen. Of what's already, the substance that's already there.
Amen. Yeah. And I think that's sometimes what we're missing. We're just okay with just the talking, but we're supposed to preach with power. And preaching with power is not just you shout at the right time and people get goosebumps. Mm-mm. Is that there's confirmation and affirmation to the word you just released. And it's not just mere words, but it's activation of those words. And if he can drive a demon out with the finger and he can take out an army with his hand, like that's a powerful God. And,
yeah, it is.
And I heard Todd Smith the other day say in a sermon, he said, what's God supposed to say? Like all these demons are whispering to you, but he's supposed to say, I can't talk to you. I'm not supposed to after the word's been written. Like, you know, it's like all these kind of things. But then it kind of goes on to talk like, you know, I know that cancer's big, but the apostolic age is over, so I can't do miracles anymore. Sorry, guys. And no, he's powerful.
He is.
Mm-hmm. He is mighty, and he will flex his bicep and just as Jesus showed signs of who he was, there is signs and wonders that will follow the kingdom to affirm and confirm that the kingdom of God is really here.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And now we never seek the signs. That's not our pursuit. Mm-hmm. But signs and wonders will follow to bring light to the world that we are exactly, that God is exactly who we say he is. And that Elohim is truly Elohim. And Jesus is truly the Son of God. And I think this is all that it's written on our hearts because now the word of the Lord stays here and we dwell Amen. On it night and day. And
yeah.
it's all that we can feast on. It's what we think about. It's what we dwell on. It's what's guiding us. It's all what's holding our tongue whenever we want to say that. It's what keeping us sane when we want to get crazy on the person that cut us off in the middle of the traffic or when that anxious thing happens or that doctor report comes in. It's the word of the Lord that's settled in my heart that I will not be shaken and I will not be moved mm-hmm. and I will not be deterred, but I'm going to stand on the word that's written in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so good stuff. Very good stuff. Well, we don't have an answer yet for the trivia question. We're going to take a break and get Brother Matt in here from Wildfire Ministries with the tent revival going on there in Litchfield, Kentucky. So let me read this one more time. We're going to take a break. When King Jehoshaphat heard that the Moabites, the Ammonites, and others were coming to attack, what did Jehoshaphat command the people of Judah to do? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood, July 23rd, 2025. And what a day the Lord has made. We are excited for what the presence of the Lord is doing in the lives of people. We're seeing great signs and wonders ourselves. We're seeing miracles. We're seeing, we have seen some actually really amazing miracles lately. One woman, our dear sister of ours now, I just got to meet her recently, had stage 4 cancer. And I just need to say this to somebody. I don't know why I got to say this, but I felt impressed by the Spirit of God to give this testimony. She had stage 4 cancer documented and everything, and she went into the doctor's about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the doctor said it's completely gone.
Amen.
They were just giving her very little time to live, and the Lord did the miracle. Amen.
Amen.
And so we just give him praise for that. We're seeing great things happen and amazing things happen. Life's being transformed, deliverance taking place. And so we're anticipating a move of God. And I know it's no different for our new brother that we just met this morning, really. But he is, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little about yourself and what you guys are doing, and we'll get into it.
Okay. Hey, thanks guys for having me on. My name's Matt Jeffrey. I'm with a ministry called Wildfire Encounter right here in the state of Kentucky. We're from a little tiny town between Louisville and Fort Knox called West Point. You may see it on the news every few years. It floods a lot. So that's the only reason you'd probably see it on the news. But my dad's pastored the same church there for about 45 years now.
Yeah.
And just a couple years ago, the Lord, after a time of fasting and prayer, the Lord told him, go get a tent, truck, and trailer, and go evangelize the state of Kentucky. And he's in his 60s, yeah. And he's like, Lord, I really don't want to do that, to be honest with you. And I did that in my 20s. It's a lot of hard work. And after a few weeks, he said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. You're telling me to do it, I'll do it. And the Lord said, okay, go get 3 tent trucks and trailers and evangelize the state of Kentucky. And it's not for you to preach. It's for you to send out young evangelists. So he said, okay, Lord. He even told the Lord, he said, you know, if I've got to be 90 years old and drag this tent on my back, I'll do whatever you want to do. So he shows up to our church one morning. This is just a testimony, really, as to how God works, you know, when you say yes.
Uh-huh.
And shows up to our church one morning. And this wasn't a, hey, let's raise some money to do this type of thing. He just, like, from his heart telling the church, this is what we're doing. The Lord put this on my heart, and I said yes. We're going to go get a tent, truck, and trailers, and we're going to go evangelize the state. And then a man walks up at the end of the service. Now, West Point, you can look it up online. It's the poorest city, I believe, in Hardin County, and probably one of the poorest in the whole area. But a man walks up with $28,500 cash in his pocket and says, here, I want you to buy the first tent here. And, you know, my dad said, I've done priced it. It's a $20,000 tent. It's the tent we have in Litchfield right now, if you go see it. And he said, here's your $8,000 back. And he said, no, go buy the first trailer, put that toward it. And that's just what it's been the whole time. You know, when you say yes to God, you literally don't have to beg and plead ask and grovel and put pressure on people and use tactics to get more money out of people. You say yes to God and you take that little step of faith, he just meets you the whole way there. And because of that, and we're not against fundraisers by no means. We take up offerings at our church, you know. But God's prosperity is better than the prosperity that we can come up with. And because of that, now this might change any point in time, but even I guess to let everybody on the radio know. So basically we go across the state of Kentucky and we've gone from city to city evangelizing, spreading the gospel. But in doing that, the Lord's provided, and we have not even had to take up one offering during the service.
Come on.
And what that's allowed us to do is we want the church to come out. The Lord has something for the church.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has healing, not only physical, mental. There's people in church with anxieties and
absolutely
all types of things. But we're really after the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a lot of times, I've been to services before where somebody totally lost and broken, don't even know Jesus. They show up to a service and they hear a 45-minute sermon on the tither, but getting ready to take up, and they don't get to hear Jesus. And so we just want to focus on Jesus.
Amen.
There's a box in the back if somebody wants to donate.
That's come on.
And that's our heart. And I don't know. That's my intro, I guess. I don't know.
I love it. I love it. I love it, brother. I think that's so right on in sense of where he gives the vision, he will give the provision.
Amen.
And sometimes what we do is Paul tells us to be a cheerful giver, and sometimes persuaded giver.
That's right.
And I think there's a difference between being a persuaded giver and a cheerful giver. I love that. I love the heartbeat of that. And I haven't got to see the tent, but they said it's huge.
It's a decent sized tent. It's that tent is an 80x80 tent.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, that's the very first tent we got, and the Lord, you know, blessed us with brand new. Just 2023 is when it launched, and so the Lord gave Dad the vision in early 2023, and by September we had the tent and did our first wildfire encounter.
Yeah.
And last year we went to 4 different cities, and this year we'll be in 8. So Litchfield is our 5th, and it's just been awesome, you know.
Come on.
The things that I would have, without, you know, the saying yes to God, if you don't say yes to God, you miss out on so many opportunities, you know, the things that the Lord has and the destinies for your life. We get to travel the state of Kentucky, and it's not about money because we don't even get paid, but we get to travel the state of Kentucky, live in parking lots and fields and campers, but we get to see people come to Christ. We get to see people get healed. We get to see people get set free from demons, set free from addictions instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to necessarily go through a 12-step program to be set free.
Amen.
And we see it all the time. It's great.
It's the power of the gospel.
It is the power of the gospel. And, you know, just before I stepped in here to the studio, I could hear you guys in the other room, and just it was getting me stirred up. I just love it, you know, hearing you guys talk about, you know, demonstration of power, because – you know, T.L. Osborne said it one time, and I'm going to butcher the quote, and that's okay. But he said, you know, what is a gospel worth preaching if you can't demonstrate it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's power. And we've some reason in the church, we've like, well, we're just going to talk, and that's going to be enough. And I get it, like the gospel, the power of the gospel. We're to go preach. We're to go preach. But he will confirm his word with signs and wonders.
That's true.
And we kind of leave that out a lot of times. But I think it's easy just to say something. It's another thing to live that something. And it's costly to have the anointing. And it's you have to make that decision, whatever cost, whatever pay, whatever yes I got to do. If that cancer patient gets the hair back on their head, whatever, how many ever fields I got to sleep in and how many ever parking lots you got to stay in, if that little boy gets the blood results back and there's no more cancer in his cells, and that person who was going from hell is now on their way to heaven in a split second, it's worth every second. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the sense of that in your heart. I just met you, but I can feel that. And there's something going on in Kentucky. There's something going on in this region. And as I told you on the phone yesterday, I thank you that you're willing for the souls. I thank you for coming to our region, into this area. I thank you for being willing. And we're going to be praying for you, brother. Keep talking. Keep, what's one look like? I don't know. Whatever you want to be led by the Spirit of.
Well, and I can tell you that in just a second, but I do want to say something based off something you were saying right there, if that's okay, if I can
Absolutely.
Just reverse for a second. So, you know, you're talking about there is a cost to the anointing, and there is, you know, some sacrifice there, but I just wanted the listeners to be encouraged. You don't necessarily have to start off by getting a giant tent, dragging around the state of Kentucky and living in a camper. That's not how it starts. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit, just for me,
sure,
how it kind of was, if that's okay. Well, I guess for my dad, where did it start? With prayer and fasting.
Absolutely.
It started with prayer and fasting. It wasn't his idea, number one. It was God's idea. And then for me, even before, I'm getting ready to turn 40 in just a few weeks. And I've grown up in the church. My father's a pastor. I've loved the Lord most all my life, okay? You know, we've all done wrong. But about 3 years ago, I'm sitting in church, and I decided, I'm 37 years old, roughly, and I am sick of sitting in the church being a baby Christian. Mm. You know, we can just sit. We can be in the right place physically, but not necessarily where God wants us to be or in our heart, you know, mm-hmm. and not that I was in sin by no means. And I love the Lord, but we can sit in church week after week and after week and not fulfill our destinies mm-hmm. and be a baby Christian. And, you know, I just want to encourage the listeners, the sacrifice sometimes starts with something very small.
That's right.
And what I decided in my heart, I said, Lord, what am I putting between you and me? And it wasn't sin. Not necessarily. Nothing that you could look on the surface as being wrong. But really what I did that was putting between me and the Lord was, it could be entertainment, mm-hmm. it work, you know, just working so much, so focusing on that. And then the free time that I would have, maybe I would just be on the news. You know, I enjoyed politics and the news or just Facebook. Nothing that I was doing in sin, but I said, Lord, what would happen, God, if I replaced all the time that I waste scrolling with you, with talking to you, God, with reading your word? And I can say, just these are very basic, simple Sunday school principle. Hey, just spend more time with God, right? This is a basic principle. But what happened in my life is I went from a person who spent, and I did a lot of stuff in the church, loved the Lord, served the Lord, but was still, in my opinion, a baby Christian, to God started showing me basically a vision. Literally, I just couldn't get this image out of my mind. This is before the tent. This is a year and a half before the tent, of me on the street, out, not in the church, praying for the sick and praying for people to cast out demons. Mm-hmm. And I just would kept seeing it and seeing it and seeing it. And I would tell my wife, I wouldn't even know how to articulate this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just started with small sacrifices and spending time with the Lord. And I say to my wife, Adair, I don't know what to do. I just got to do something crazy. And she looked at me like, what do you mean? You know, I don't even know how to use words, but like the Lord wants me to do something. I don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, when you make that sacrifice and then the Lord starts to show you what to do, you know, for me, it was setting some things aside. For my dad, it was a prayer and fasting and these small things. Then he shows you the next step. And then it just started happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I would see people and we would pray for them and they would be healed. Or people who are demonized, and we would pray for them, and they would be set free. And just a small sacrifice sometimes. Just start with a small sacrifice.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. And I want to make sure everybody's clear. I don't think there's, like, when I say a cost of the anointing, it's not like I pay for it or I earn it or I'm going to grind it out and get it. It's what you're saying. It's that it will cost you normalcy.
Absolutely.
It will cost you comfortable. It will cost you entertainment. It will cost you some things you like to do, but it's worth it. Every second of anything you feel like a sacrifice, there's really no cost.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't. I love that, brother. I love that testimony, too. And they're what I like to call, I think we all have to get to that point where we're tired of being a watcher. Someone who just sits on the pew on Sunday mornings and just watches it week by week. Bless me, entertain me, make it a cruise ship and not a battleship. Like, let's just, how are you going to bless me today, Pastor? How are you going to bless me today, worship team? How good are you going to be? And I think that's what we're transitioning from in the church today.
And that's why, you know, I'm sometimes, you know, I'll even speak to our church sometimes. I think, you know, they'll look at you like you got three heads. It's like, 'cause the Bible says, these signs will follow them that believe. Do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at some point, the signs should begin to follow. You will pray for the sick, and they will recover.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, some people don't want to do it because they're scared to death, but you will cast out demons. Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And you will raise the dead. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend of mine that goes to our church. He's an 80-year-old man, 80-some-year-old man. He was a former tent revivalist decades ago, but he had three nieces in California OD'd at the same time. They must have had the same bad drugs, and they called him, and he got there sometime later, you know, at the hospital. They got him to the hospital. They had sheets over him. They were dead, and he was just crazy enough to try, right? So he goes to the first one, and, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but in the name of Jesus, you know, rise from the dead. I'm not sure exactly what he said. Second one, same thing. Nothing happened. Third one, same thing. Nothing happened. But he said when he did the third one, the first one rose up, the second one rose up, and the third one rose up.
Wow.
And so I say it all the time. If we don't see people rising from the dead, and I've heard of it, but mainly because us as Christians, we're too scared to try it.
Mm.
It's like taboo and crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And usually when we get a call from a family member that's died, we're like, okay, when's the funeral plans, you know, instead of just like, let's do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our God, he's such an unlimited God. And we as a church and as Christians sometimes put him in a box.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we've just got to smash what we think as that's of religion, mm-hmm. you know, what we think he can do.
So good. So good. So maybe you're out there and you're that Christian who's like, I'm tired of being a baby Christian. I'm tired of just being a watcher. What would you say to him right now?
I would say to just really look at your life. What are you doing? What are you spending your most time on? Because anything that you do and you spend more time in your free time, we have to work. We have to do things, right? Take care of responsibilities in our families. But I'm talking about the time that you actually literally have that's free. And sometimes it's not very much. We're busy people. But do a self-assessment of your life. What are you putting between you and God? You know, when you read in the Old Testament about the high places, you know, these were places that were literally physically high, where people would put things were between them and the Lord. So what is between you and God, and what needs to be taken out and thrown down, even if it's not sin? Of course, if it's sin, take it out, right? But even if it's not sin, even if you are the best soccer mom in the world and you go to 18 soccer games a week, and you have no time to read your Bible or pray, that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So let me ask you this. Let's go back to the tent.
Yes, sir.
All right. So what goes on whenever, say, somebody gets radically born again? What's the next step for you guys?
So when they get born again, you know, if they don't have a Bible or anything, we give them a Bible, we get their information, and then we do our best to partner with local churches because we travel from there. We move on, and then we try to plug them in and contact them with local pastors and try to follow up with them from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, you know, as far as the people who are, you know, sick of being baby Christians, we do something on, it'll be on Saturday coming up. We do something called the Evangelism Encounter, where if you don't know how to talk to people about the Lord and you would like to, you know, learn how to or just be encouraged or have somebody stand beside you with it, we'll do a training at 11 o'clock on Saturday at the tent, 11 o'clock in the morning. And then we'll literally go out into the public. We'll go to Walmart or wherever, and we'll just start to win the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's something about once you get something under your belt, you know, whether it is, you know, leading somebody to the Lord or praying for somebody and they becoming healed, it builds your faith, builds your confidence. It's just like, you know, if you've ever seen, what is it, Rocky IV, whenever Rocky hits the Russian in the face and the blood starts to come down, you're like, oh, okay, I got this now.
Yeah.
You know, bad analogy, but you get what I'm saying.
Love it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you. Yeah, I love that. I love the equipping and then also activating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know for a lot of people, I found as a pastor, like one of the hardest things is just get out there and do it. And if you can partner up with other people, it gets a little easier. Then once you get it under your belt a few times, it becomes just second nature.
Yeah.
Like, but it is. I mean, I'll never forget the first two or three times I ever asked a waitress, "Can I pray for you?" Man, it felt awkward. It felt like he was asking like, are you pregnant or something like that? Like, you know, it was like what's going to, but then like it now it's just second nature. Like now it's just so normal. And I love that sometimes it's easier when you get the group and activate and go, go, go. And I guess that's why Jesus sent them two by two.
Yeah. You know, he definitely did. And there's a reason for it, and to support each other. And, you know, what I love to see when going out, I love to see signs and miracles and wonders on the street, because it's not limited to the church. It's not limited to our tent. You know, honestly, the Bible says the miracles are for the unbeliever. So like you said, when you ask somebody, can I pray for you? I honestly think, you know, we can We can have a script. We can have things that we say. And we do teach some of that just to help people, prompt them to get somewhere.
Sure.
But the best thing is to be led by the Holy Spirit and just to ask, that meet them where they are. Everybody has a need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're dealing with anxiety or depression or they need a healing or whatever it is. And the Lord wants to meet that need.
Absolutely.
So why not just ask them, hey, can I pray for you? Let's do it. And then let God deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see, like you said, waitresses or just homeless people on the street or any. Yeah. We've seen, you know, we were in Danville and we had a homeless guy, you know, his wrist and arm was just healed on the street just by talking to him and praying with him, you know.
Amen.
So these are things that you won't see sitting in your pew every Sunday and then going home, you know. You won't ever see it.
Absolutely. You know, we were in West Liberty, oh gosh, I don't know, it's probably 8 or 9, 10 years ago. And we were doing a revival there with Brother Ron, and actually I think it was an outdoor event too, and it was right after the tornado hit there that was really destructive, and we were just there helping serve, and then we would host these events in the evening. And there was this young girl at the park one day sitting on a park bench, and one of our young ladies went up and just started having a conversation with her. And she was a young lady that, I'm just being honest, most people would probably avoid. And I was so proud of our young lady to just go up there. But then it turned into this amazing moment because she said, hey, Aaron, can you come over here for a second? And then we were able to start ministering to this lady and realize this young girl's cutting herself. She has marks all up and down her arm. She's in this depression, probably suicidal. And we just saw over the next couple of days the Lord do this amazing thing in her life. And sometimes if we don't leave the comfortable, if we don't leave that comfortable and we ignore the beggars and we ignore the hurting, really in reality what I feel like we're doing is we're taking the keys of the kingdom and shutting the door and saying you deserve to come in and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's whosoever will. And how many people are we passing every single day that is marked up on their arms wearing long sleeve but they don't look the part and they never get the healing and they never get the wholeness?
You know, the Bible describes that specifically in the church, but you can apply it to outside the church as the sin of partiality.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody comes into your church and they look nice and they're wealthy or whatever it is, they're
yeah.
good looking, and you want to talk to them because that's maybe it's our flesh and our nature, and you give them the best seat in the house, but then you don't want to talk to the dirty person that hasn't had a bath in a week and that is obviously poor. That's a sin of partiality. It's the same thing on the street. You know, it's been such an honor and a blessing to be able to, Christians who's out there listening right now, your life will be changed by talking to people on the street. It doesn't have to just be the waitress.
Mm-mm.
You know, the broken person in the park, the drug addict. Through Wildfire Encounter, we've been able to partner with a decent size, a very large drug rehab facility in the state of Kentucky.
Awesome.
That we met up with last year in Danville. They're a Christian organization, and some of their leadership came every night to the meetings. So they asked us to do revivals in the drug rehab facilities.
That's awesome.
And so this past winter, when we didn't have time to do it during the summer with the tents, but we said, let's try it in the winter. And so they had four large facilities with about 80 people in each one. And not knowing what to do, right? Going into these places. And I've talked to people on the street before, but I've never dealt with drugs. Me and my brother-in-law's, you know, very involved in Wildfire Encounter. We're like, what are we going to say to these people? We've got lots of guys in our church that's dealt with addiction. The Lord's brought them out. We're going to support them. We're going to go in. And I'll never forget the first time we went in, 80 men. And we're just like, okay, we set everything up. And we made it as nice as we could for them. And the second we went up there to introduce ourselves, my brother-in-law, the Holy Spirit came all over him. And he just went on I don't even know how to say it, just a Holy Spirit, just tirade, just ministering for like 10 minutes. We were just doing the intro. We wasn't even supposed to. And then played the first song. And after the first song, he grabbed the mic again. I don't even remember what he said. 60 men rushed the altar up there.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit hit them.
Come on.
They're laying out all over the ground in the Holy Spirit. And that was just the first start of it. And we had a whole winter of this where we went and we traveled from drug rehab facility to drug rehab facility and seeing the Lord just like move mightily in these places. I'm going to be real honest with you people. These are things that, I mean, look, I grew up in church. I love church. My dad's a pastor. We've had some good church. You know what I'm saying? I would rather, just for me as being from a ministry standpoint, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And even for myself, us personally, it changed us. Mm-hmm. It changed us. I would rather be in that room with 80 broken men.
Mm-hmm.
There's broken people in church. Out of 100, there's probably 5 or 6 going through some stuff right then and there. But you can be in the opportunity to be there with 80 broken men right in one moment who is actually hungry and seeking. It changes things.
Yeah.
And every place we would go, you would see the Lord just move mightily. You know, you would, salvations and healings and deliverance and all sorts of things. So, you know, you have to go. The parable of the wedding supper, you know, go out to the hedges and the highways and the byways and reach the lost, reach the forgotten and the broken. These are forgotten people.
Yeah. That's so
and
good.
If we don't as a church go and reach them, who's going to?
That's right. Well, yeah.
Well, I was going to tell the story that it seems anymore lately the most attacking people are Christians. I mean, other churches. And I remember me and Aaron, they had something set up at the fair this past year. And there was a Church of Scientology set. So they had their tent, you know. Well, it caused a big ruckus.
Do they have their lab coats on? Or
no lab coats.
No lab coats. Okay. But everybody, like people wanted to avoid them.
Yeah.
So somehow Aaron goes and talks to them. Well, he invites me. So we go to dinner with these guys. And people are like, I said, you know, they're probably going to talk about, they got some Christian people over talking to Scientology. Like, we're going to get converted. But I'm like, if we believe, if we're truly the people of God, the Church of Scientology is just a smokescreen by the enemy that's trying to get people away from seeing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we sat down with them and
for almost 3 hours sharing the gospel.
Yes. I mean, and those kind of people, it seems like, because they're so indoctrinated with their belief. Aaron was breaking down some walls. We were breaking down some walls. But I think sometimes we think it should be just so easy, and it's never easy. You know, like when you're coming in, when you're laying your life down for the gospel's sake, you give up everything. And if it's people talking bad about you, or I said we're supposed to be dead anyways. So, but what I'm getting at, I feel like I've seen that. I've seen some of your all's people attacking. Hey, what's these people doing out here? You know,
it's funny, honestly. You know, I really do just kind of laugh about it anymore. But you're right, you know, and I don't look at it as a negative aspect. When we go into a city and we announce that we're coming to reach the lost, you know, we're trying to do what God told us to do the best we can. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Do we know everything? Nope. Never will claim to. And nobody does. Once you start to say you know everything, that's pride that's entered in already.
Absolutely.
But, we see a lot of people that online who, not a lot, but some, and they're just the loudest ones, that will come against us actually coming to a city and spreading the gospel. And wow. Sometimes it's actually the Christians.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's sad, but, you know, really what it is, it's the religious spirits in them.
That's it. Yeah.
Let's just say it, okay?
That's
religious
right.
spirits in them. And when Jesus was on the earth, who came against him more than anybody else? The Pharisees and the Sadducees.
His own.
The religious spirits. And, that's what happened. But you know what? The Bible says, blessed are you when people revile you for my name's sake.
Amen.
And so I'm blessed. I don't give I don't care at all. I don't give a rip. It don't matter. I'm blessed.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I love that.
Amen. Well, we're just about out of time here for this segment, Brother Matt. Tell us a little bit, just real fast, as what times it start and how long are you going with it?
Okay, so again, if you don't know where we're at, we're right in Litchfield, big giant tent with a flame on it, can't miss it, at 2295 West Elizabethtown Road. It's on Highway 62, a couple blocks from Walmart, 7 o'clock nightly, 7 o'clock central nightly, and it's currently scheduled to go through Friday night, but we don't really ever put a hard stop on the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit wants to keep it rolling, we'll do it, you know, so that's up to him. We'll see.
That's awesome. Amen. Awesome. Thank Amen. You, brother, for coming out here this morning. I wish we could talk longer. I really do love your heart. And again, thank you for coming and mm-hmm. going after yeah. souls in our region. It's very much honored. So
I appreciate you having me out.
Amen. Well, we have on us Miss Hannah. You can go ahead and transition us into Miss Megan's on the phone with us. Miss Megan, you with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning,
hey,
Ms.
how
Megan.
Are you, Megan?
Blessed and highly favored of the Lord.
Amen, amen. So it's great to hear from you. It seems like it's been a little while since we've heard from you, but what's the Lord doing? What's he speaking? Why don't you go ahead and, I mean, most people know you here, but you can go ahead and introduce yourself, because I feel like we normally don't introduce you. And then just kind of go into what the Lord is doing, because he's moving. He's doing a lot right now. And really, it's just because we're moving out of the way. He's always wanting to do something, but we're moving out of the way. But you introduce yourself to those who may not know you, and then we'll see what the Lord has in store.
Praise God. Hi, my name is Megan Fortner. I'm from Northern Missouri. I'm a mama to seven amazing kids. My husband is an outfitter. I do travel ministry. I was recently in an accident in October, which kind of halted my traveling, but things are opening up, doors are opening up. I just love the Lord. I love to help people find the Lord and know who they are in Christ and build their faith and let them fight the fight that we all fight every day. And I just love to love people. I mean, that's a lot about me. I love to help people, train people, encourage people, strengthen people, love people, let them know who God is and the love of God. And I just love to be with the Lord. That's who I am.
Amen. Amen. As we all, that should be all of our intro, really. and because it's not about titles. It's not about titles. It's not about what we've done or what we can do for the Lord. But that's what I feel like is the common theme that just recently the Lord is showing his people is, you know, it's about the love and the devotion to him. And then everything just flows out of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important to, you know, just find that relationship with God. And it doesn't take a lot of time to find who God is and who God is to you. And because you got the Word of God, right? You've got it all laid out in a blueprint. Mm-hmm. Blueprint in the Word of God. You know, you get in there, you start eating it and feeding on it, he starts revealing himself to you, and things just start happening in your life as you're praying according to the Word of God, using your faith, standing strong in your faith by speaking the Word of God against all situations and standing on them, not wavering from them. I mean, that I don't even know, you know, I just, it works. He's done it for me. He's saved my life. He's healed me. I'm able to run now. Y'all haven't heard about that. So, like, God is so faithful to those who are faithful, obedient, willing. There's a willingness that we have to have, and diligent to him. He's so faithful to you. And even if you miss it, he's still faithful to you because he knows your heart. It's all about your heart. What's in your heart? You know, what are you doing for the Lord? Do you love him? Do you accept him? Do you allow him access? You know, those are all the questions you need to ask yourself. Praise God.
Wow. That's so good. I feel like there's such a draw to that right now. To let him in, to have that soft heart towards the Lord, and really have a heart turned towards him and not turned towards everything else. Like, it's just a common thread that's coming up over and over and over that I hear from people that I feel like he's speaking to me, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I feel like I'm on, like, somebody spoke this word over me one time that I'm a horse at the gate, and I just keep revving up my hooves, and the Lord's just waiting for me to break through the gate. And I feel like, I don't know if I've broke through the gate. The person who gave me the word said that I have, but I'm like, I don't know if I really have, because I feel this just like there's more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's just more in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's that hunger.
And he wants us to continue to hunger for him, and mm-hmm. you know, and he wants us to be tired of the normal. He wants us to be not satisfied with the routine of you know, getting in a groove, you know. Because I'm just seeing over and over. Now, when it comes to, like, reading our word and stuff, I'm, you know, I want help. But I want more consistency in those areas and in time with him. But when it comes to just living our life and serving him, you know, I just see him, even in the word, like, he doesn't do the same thing. Like, he does a new thing. He doesn't do everything the same every time. Like he's changing and he's shifting and he moves differently and he wants us to flow with him.
It can be
hard if we are relying on ourselves. But I mean, you know how this goes with getting out there and just doing it. You know, just relying on the Holy Spirit to speak, and it just takes not thinking in our own carnal way.
Right. Well, you got to train yourself. I mean, think about these pro athletes, or just think about anybody that does a job. You train yourself. You train your body to do your job. You train yourself to do what you need to do it accurately, to do it efficiently. You know, and that's what you're doing. Every time you take the Word of God and you apply it in your life, you're training yourself. Next thing you know, as you're continuing to train yourself and you're continuing to get in a relationship with God, and God's continuing to strengthen you and encourage you and build you up and show you His truth and His Word is truth, next thing you know, these things that were once hard is no longer hard anymore. Think about it. If you just take off running and you haven't ran in forever, by the time you hit the end of your driveway, you're probably like, I am not doing this anymore. I'm done with it. Like, you're already panting. You're already coughing because you hadn't ran in forever. And then next thing you know, you just continue to do these things. You continue to follow the principles of God, do what God asks of you, and you continue to apply them, and you continue to put them deep down in your heart. And next thing you know, you're not running down to the end of the driveway. Next thing you know, you're running around the block, down to the next block, and you're like, how did this happen? Because you're training yourself. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. You're getting the Word of God deep down in you, to where when something rises up against you, nothing comes up but the Word of God and faith in the Holy Spirit says, listen, you know how to combat this. We've already done this before. Now we're going to go and do it, and we're going to keep doing it and keep applying it to where that's all you know to do. That's all you know to do is just follow the Word of God, to do what the Word of God says, because you've gotten rid of everything else that tries to hinder you.
Wow. Amen. That's so on point. That is so on point. Just, I feel like the Lord, at least me, I don't know about everybody else, but I just feel like the Lord just keeps speaking the same word to me in different ways and through different people. And He's like, yeah, all right, girl, when are you, like, we got to do this thing. And because it's just right. Deeper. It's just, I love what our guest before you said, like, there's a destiny. There's a destiny for every single one of us. And that destiny is not fulfilled through coming to church or even in ministry, like, to the full extent. It can be partly, you know, He wants us to be keeping our ministries afloat and be here and have a place to gather and worship and serve and take care of, you know, the body. So I'm not saying that, but there's more. It's like, this is our reasonable service, but there's more. And it's like finding that more, because that more is not, it's not, it's almost, I don't want to say rare, because people are finding it, but it's not normal in our society. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like the destiny that comes after being a church goer or even a ministry staff person, like that destiny that is between you and the Lord, that's like on your own time, that He's just leading you to do whatever He's wanting you to do, you know. And that's what our guest before was talking about too, like what are we doing on our own time, on our free time? How are we stewarding our free time? Because I guess that would be, you know, it's more than our tithe. It's our offering.
Right.
It's more than our reasonable service. It's our heart towards the Lord of what we're giving Him.
Yeah, amen. Well, Proverbs 16:3-4 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. The Lord has made everything for His own purpose. You know, and it goes on, even in the wicked, for the day of disaster. But what a lot of people don't understand is, like, okay, say they've messed up. Maybe they haven't followed the Lord. Maybe they really haven't found the Lord. And they're like, I've made so many mistakes. I've done this in my life. I've done this. I've cursed God. I've done this. And I'm like, do you still realize that God has a plan and purpose for you? When He created you in the womb, He had a plan and purpose for you. And, you know, you may have made some mistakes, but you may be knocked down. You may have done some things, but you're not out. God's got a plan and a purpose for you because He loves you. He loves every single person, and and we all should want everyone in the kingdom of God, right? No, even our enemies that have come against us because the enemies use them, we still want them in the kingdom of God. You still want to love them. You want to show them the true love of God. If somebody comes and rises up against you and does something against you, come on, and then you're like, you just want to turn against it and be like, well, they did this to me, they did that. Okay, first of all, close your mouth. You don't need to go spread an evil report. The Bible tells us not to spread an evil report. You know, you can go in your prayer time, talk to your husband, talk to your spouse, talk to your crazy faith friends, talk to your pastor about things that are going on. But what we as Christians need to do is build ourselves up, build other people up. We need to love people because it's not the people, it's the powers and principalities behind them. Yeah. So whenever someone comes against you and they're doing all these things, you've got to remember that person has a plan and purpose in the kingdom of God. To love them, to speak encouragement to them, to be who God has created us to be. When you're around that person, you still remain to be who God has called you to be, because when we season it with salt and we walk in love, the Bible says love casts out all. You know, the love can cover a multitude of sins. So why not be who God's called you to be, to help that person, to show that person, you may rise up against me, but I'm telling you that it ain't going to work, and I love you, and God has a plan and purpose for you. I have witnessed with my own eyes people that come against me or have come against our family or anything. I have witnessed it with my own eyes that when I walk in love towards them, they see a difference in who the Lord really is and who he actually is. That's what we're about. We're about showing people, anybody, everybody, who God really is. He's not going to sit here and condemn you and do all these things and say bad things to you and all that. That's not what God's going to do. So why would we do it? I mean, we have to be who God has created us to be, and we have to remind everybody God has a plan for you. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, no matter what you did 2 seconds ago, God has a plan for you, and I want to help you find out what that plan is.
Wow. That's big. You know, the ones that are coming against us, like what if we all did that? You know, how would things shift? How would things change?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are living proof. There's testimonies of how this has happened, and it's possible. With a God, with men, things may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Right. And
what an encouragement this morning to, you know, extend that same love and, you know, boldness towards the ones who are coming against us.
Yeah. Rather, yeah, and I mean, the first time, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, rather than shrinking back and, like, reclusing into a shell, because that's what our nature wants to do. When somebody comes against us, somebody speaks ill of us, somebody talks behind our back, we find out that, or somebody has an attitude with us, X, Y, Z, whatever it is, we want to shrink back and avoid.
Right. Well, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character, but here's the thing with that. If you're strong in the Lord and you have a good, strong relationship with God and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you, and you know what the Bible says about the love of God, you've been in practice with it, you've trained yourself, you know what comes, blessings come with that, so you know what comes, you receive them, you know, and you do those things. There's a difference in that, because I can stand that kind of treatment and it not cause me to fall away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're, you know, I heard earlier about baby Christians and stuff, and there are stages of Christianity. There are babies when they first are born, you know, they need the milk, and then you kind of get to the baby food. Then you start getting into the meat and potatoes, and then, you know, there are those stages, and it talks about that. And so if you can't withstand that and you feel yourself getting in anger, you feel yourself starting to want to just run the mouth, the best thing for you to do at that time is walk away and go and pray. But if you know that when that comes against you, that you can stand in your rightful place and who you are in Christ, and you can still walk in love and just show them the love of God. Like, there was a time that it happened to me where I was just like, you know, I love you, God loves you, and he has a plan for you. And then it just made them get even worse. And I said, all I'm going to say to you is, I love you, God loves you, and God has a plan for you. And if you are ever willing, I would love to help you find that plan, love to bring you to Jesus. And then it just kept on, and then I just finally just walked away, because the Holy Spirit's like, all right, Megan, you've done your thing. Go on, pray, and let me work.
Mm. That's really good. That is,
yeah, because sometimes we feel like you have to beat a dead horse, right? Sometimes you feel like, I got to keep on, I got to stand here and continue. I have to. No, you don't. You do what the Lord tells you to do, and then you go on and let him work. You planted a seed. Now go and pray over that seed. Pray over that seed that you planted, and just continue to walk in love. Salt is going to taste better than anything else. You know, it's going to be better than anything else. But the main thing that I want to get across today is, no matter what walk of life you're in, if you're listening, God loves you and he has a plan. And wherever you're at, pray that God leads you to someone that can help you, strengthen you, and guide you, as well as being in the Lord, because you got to build that relationship with him. But there are people set before you in your path. There are pastors. There are people that God will lead you to help strengthen you, to show you, to build you along with the Lord, how to grow in who you are in him, how to receive all God has for you, and how to be built up on your most holy faith, how to get strong in the Lord, how to do those things. There are people set before you in your path. There are churches waiting for you. There are pastors waiting for you. There are people waiting for you. God loves you, and he's going to lead you to the right place at the right time with the right people to grow you from maybe being a baby Christian into who God has created you to be all along. It takes a village. You have to have people. You can't do it alone. God first, then he will lead you to the right company.
That's so good. I really like this conversation about baby Christian and then the milk and the meat, because, you know, you were saying it takes a village, and I'm thinking about an actual baby. It does take a village, and it's the same thing with a spiritual baby. You know, how often are we just leaving, I don't know if you've heard this, but leaving them on the delivery table?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they get saved, and then they're just, like, people aren't, they're not, either they're not seeking it out, or people aren't coming around them. The ones that are
baby. Right.
We need each other.
Right.
Amen.
We do. And we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to be prayed up. We have to be fed up. You know, we have to get into his presence. And I've said this before, you know, praying and being in the Lord's presence does not always have to be in your prayer room or in your place of prayer. When I'm in the car, I'm thanking Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm acknowledging him throughout the day. It's a continual thing. I mean, because we've got to stay prayed up, powered up, you know? And so I just want to encourage you that, like, even if you're in between sessions at the hospital and something's happened, pray in the spirit. Just pray. Just speak the name of Jesus, no matter what your job is or whatever. Like, even with raising kids and doing homeschool, there may be seconds where I've got to go get with the Lord because something's been trying. You know, it's like, okay, why isn't this working? And so then I'm just like, I'll just sit there and just like, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, he comes. He shows up. You say the name of Jesus, he shows up. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you in that. It doesn't mean you have to be in a room to pray. You can do it all day, anywhere, wherever you're at.
Amen. That's important. And he will meet you wherever you are.
Whatever
you've done, whatever you just did a second ago, his mercies are new every morning. He is near to those who, when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And I love that, Megan. I love your heart for the lost and for those who are, you know, in a struggle to bring them up, pull them out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Do you have something?
Praise God. Well,
did you have something else to Megan?
I was just going to testify a little bit on speaking the word and sticking with the word, staying with your confessions and just what God has done. We actually have moved back to Pattonsburg. You know, when I got in my accident, we had to rush into a home for me to be able to get out of the hospital. But it's just been listening to the Lord, praying to the Lord, asking of the Lord. You know, I've been wanting to come back to Pattonsburg for a while. So I've just been like, God, please provide something. I know this isn't our forever home. I know it's just a stop, but I'm ready to be closer to home, Lord. And I know that you're ready for me to be closer to home. Well, then there's been ministry meetings every month I'm doing here close to home. And it's been great. More people's been showing up. You know, it's been awesome. But God is just faithful to you when you're faithful to him. He wants to give you the desires of your heart, and he has a plan for you. And I just his faithfulness to me, just by, and it's not just about me, so I just want to go there. This isn't about me, it's about God and everything he's done. But like, he has healed my leg, my bone that wasn't lined up. I laid hands on it and spoke to it because I was getting so frustrated to go in and see an x-rays and it's not lining up. It's lined up completely straight, and it is healed. It is our, you know, I just laid hands on it, commanded it to line up in the name of Jesus, that nothing out of order in my body, and God has came through for that. And then I ran at camp meeting. My husband's like, let's go run, and I ran around the whole entire church.
Wow.
And so these are desires of my heart. I'm actually coaching basketball again. You know, I'm actually running with the boys and coaching basketball again. But these are desires of my heart that I've given out to the Lord. Lord, you know these are things that I love to do. I'll do everything that you ask of me, but these are things that I love. I want my leg to be, you know, and I'm just, I know healing is mine. I receive it. I know I'm going to get it. I know it's mine already. I know I'm going to see it. And God has just come through every time, every time. I'm not saying there's not road bumps, okay? I'm not saying that there's been a time where I didn't receive what I was asking for as quick as I wanted, but I also know that God's timing is perfect, and there's a reason that I just needed to be in a season of sitting and being underneath his presence. And so, because I'm a, like you said, I'm a racehorse at the gate. When that door opens, I go. And so I just want you to know God is faithful to you, and what you have in your heart, the things that you love to do, God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Just be faithful to him and follow him, and just let him mold you and shape you into who he's created you to be, because I'm telling you, the life that he gives you is so much better than anything that you could ever imagine. And I almost lost my life. He saved me, and I'm still going to serve everything that he's asked me to do, because he saved me. He loved me. That, you know, I just can go on about that, but he loves you. He has a plan for you. Don't give up because something doesn't happen right when you expect it, because he has a plan, and his plan is better than our plan. Mm-hmm. And he will grow you, he will shape in you, and he has so much in store for you. Just give your life to him. Just choose him.
Amen. That's a word for all of us, the lost, the born again, everybody. Mm-hmm. That word is for everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just love God.
I know, right?
My heart is just so full of his love, just because of everything that I've came through, starting from childhood till now. There's no way I would ever not love God. Even in the difficult times, I still love God, because he comes through every time.
Amen. Praise God. Is the one to put our we put our trust in him. And he tells us he'll keep us in perfect peace, who keep our trust and keep our mind on him. And that's why, like, he is trustworthy. Like, that's what you're saying, is you found that he is the one that is complete and totally trustworthy out of all in all the earth. So why would we put our trust? Why do we put our trust in other things?
Yeah.
Why do we try to put our trust in temporal things?
Yeah. I mean, he's shown himself faithful every time, even if it's taken longer. He's shown himself faithful every time. And even if it is longer, he tells you why. Like, he shows you why it's taken a little bit longer, like why or what. You know, that's how good he is to you. He doesn't just leave you in the dark. Like, I just want people to know he doesn't leave you in the dark. He will show you things that come. He will guide you in his word. He will strengthen you with his word. He will strengthen you with his love. He sent Jesus on the cross to die for our sins because he loved us, but also for our sins. But it's because he loved us so much that we had to have a savior to come, so we didn't have to continue to slay, you know, goats and calves and all that. Like, you know, God's love for you is what's going to turn things around. When you really get a taste of his love and faithfulness, you will want nothing else but what he has for you. Nothing else. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anytime that we become dissatisfied, would you agree it's because we're not only pursuing him, we're trying to pursue him and other things, or maybe other things
ourselves.
More than him, ourselves.
Yeah, our selfishness. We, you know, we're in a world where everything's right now. I want everything right now. If it's late, I want it right now. Now, now, now. God's a now time God, but he's also a you need to have patience God. Like, he's also a building you through the things that you're going through. He's also a loving, caring, that even if it takes a little bit of time, he's loving you and showing you and changing you and pruning you and doing all those things. Like, if we start to hate the pruning process, then we're already missing the mark. Just like the guy had said before, that's pride. That's your selfishness. That's things where you're just like, I want it now. No, you don't need it right now, or else you'd have it right now. Like, God is wanting to do things in you that maybe you're not expecting. If you will just open up and be like, God, have your way in me, and continue to follow what the word says, speak your confession, stand on the word of God, you know, love him, do what you need to do, what he's calling you to do, love other people, show people who God is, don't waver from that. God's going to do things for you that you never even dreamed of or asked him of, and you're going to be like, wow. He's going to say, see, this is what I've been trying to do for you all along. Trust me. Quit trying to be this is what I want, you know, boom, boom, step boom. Ahead. He's got bigger things. Yeah, he's got bigger things than you could ever dream or imagine. Mm-hmm. Praise God. He's good.
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of us around here under, you know, just feeling the urge to get our health kind of in check and take care of our temple. And somebody was talking to me about, you know, they were kind of just starting on that. And they said, it cracked me up. They said, you know, I thought this was just about getting slim, but the Lord's, he's looking out for my future. He's saying, this is about your ministry and this is about your life, your mm-hmm. days being longer. Yeah. And they're like, this whole time I just thought it was about getting slim, but he had way bigger plans than yeah. I ever could have had. And you know, that is so good because he's looking out for us. His yeah. ways are yeah. higher. He sees... He's up there in the altitude. He's up there in that layer where he can see it all, and we're seeing what's in front of us. Yeah. And he's wanting us yeah. to come higher and ascend the hill of the Lord and rise above what, you know, those everyday things that have, those sins that so easily beset us and those mountains that we keep going around. Like, he's wanting us to come up, and if we will, then we're going to start getting his heart and seeing his heart. And I think that's what he's speaking, you know, like that's the yeah. heartbeat of what he's, mm-hmm. he's calling his bride to. And yeah. we have a choice. You said earlier, yeah. you said, choose him, choose him, mm-hmm. choose him, choose him. Mm-hmm. I think we got to do it every day.
Every second of the day. I mean, we don't have time. I mean, you don't have time to mess around. God's doing things quickly. I think all y'all seen it. I think I heard the guy say that earlier too, you know, God's performing things quickly just so people will see that he is who he is, to turn them into him, because he's been trying and trying. And you know, God's always here with his arms open to you. He's never looking at you like, I'm done. Even if you make a mistake or whatever, you know, you're doing things to yourself when you make mistakes. You're lifting up the protection. You're doing things, you know, you're like letting the enemy come in. But God's always there saying, all right, you're going to say my name? Are you going to let me work? Are you ready for me to come in and help you, or are you wanting to do it by yourself? I mean, that's how he is. Like, he's here for you, but you have a choice. You have to choose him, just like you have a choice to apply the word. He's given you the word to use. If you don't apply it, he can't do anything for you. So you guys have, I mean, it's just knowing that God's given you the ammunition, which is the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the word of God, and the Holy Spirit, to do everything you got to do, battle everything, defeat whatever every day. But you also have to know what the word of God says to cover up whatever comes against you, to get rid of it, to move the mountain, to do those things, to go through it, not go around it, you know. So God's got a plan for you.
That circles us all the way back around to the very beginning, a word that God spoke to Aaron about, speaking to the mountain and not just talking about it. Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk, doing it. But we are out of time here.
Yeah.
It always flies too fast. But we love you. Thank you so much, Megan.
Oh, I love you guys. Thank you for having me.
And so you can find Megan on Facebook. She's active mm-hmm. on there. And Megan Fortner, and we love you here. And just thank you for coming on, and just excited so excited that your leg is healed and that you're running and coaching and all that. And just can't wait to see what else God does. Amen. So God. Thank you. We love you, and we'll talk to you later.
Yep, love you too. Bye-bye.
All right. I think we're out of time, so... we will be back with you guys 7 a.m. tomorrow, Central Time, on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
The quality of that was horrible.
I know.
Is it that telephone thing?
I don't know.
It was on
the phone. Ever since the strike, it has been worse quality, I think, on the phone. But I believe, I'm trying to figure out what to do. I scheduled an appointment for Ezra because he's had every sign. I mean, he's had that reflux